We just sang a hymn about fear. Did you hear it? Don't be afraid. Those words are in that hymn. Don't be afraid. God's going to get us through all kinds of trouble. And when trouble comes, look at it as a way to sort of see yourself as being refined, thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine, the words say. It was about being afraid. And it fits the lesson, I think, especially well, because fear is what creates the behavior that the Pharisees practice, even when it's a party, and even when they're throwing a big banquet and inviting their friends to come. There's still fear in the background. Otherwise, they wouldn't be jostling for the best seats, unless they were worried that there may not be enough good seats. What are we going to do? This past Wednesday, Dutton and I attended the Convocation Clericus meeting. It is the gathering of the clergy that serve the churches in the Oconee Convocation. Hartwell, Elberton, Washington, Greensboro, Madison, Monroe, Winder, and then the three stations in Athens, Emmanuel and St. Gregory's, and then when an ordained person is serving it at the chapel at the university too. So those are the stations in the Oconee Convocation. We met at St. Gregory's. And the preliminary conversation was very, very typical for clergy gatherings like this. Because we have, even without vestments on, we have a sort of verbal puffery that we wear. Okay? And we're like, how's your Sunday school for? Is it 35 kids? And that's what we do. And it's wonderful. But there's a pecking order being established through that. We are finding our seats at the table through that. So we're guilty too. And that's what Jesus sees when he goes to this party. Y'all, he says, y'all, that's not how this economy is supposed to work. Stop being afraid. Stop acting like there's only so much to go around. God loves you. Don't be afraid. When you go, take the low seat. That's enough. The preferred place. Because that way you make room for others. And you may get promoted. It's a remarkable thing that he's doing. Because this is, he's talking about the economy. Not just the dollars and cents of a Roman-occupied Jewish city. Yes, that. But that whole sense that everyone was living with in those days of, is there enough to go around? You know, Jesus was born in the town he was born in because of a census. Somebody was counting. How many of them are there? And what are we going to do with these people? And usually with a census, a tax was collected. He was born into that world. And it stayed that way. They showed him a coin. And he said, right, you know, to pay taxes. And he says, well, let me look at this. Okay, so it's got Caesar's picture on one side. So give the coin to Caesar. Give your life to God. So he's been talking about economics for a long time with them. And in Luke's gospel, he's going to be talking about it because there's a bigger picture that we're getting at. And it is the reversal of fortune. Not money, commonwealth. A way of living with each other so that everybody has enough. And nobody has to go through the puffery pants to find a seat at the table. Y'all, that's a beautiful picture. Now, it sounds a little bit threatening, doesn't it? I mean, if we were the Pharisees, but that's a rhetorical supposition, because we are in a lot of ways. If we were the Pharisees, some of us would feel threatened when someone would come into our gatherings and tell us where to put people. Because we have our own investment in that pecking order too, don't we? We have our own way of reassuring ourselves that our life is in a good place because we can throw those parties and we can invite the good people. We do that. I have to say this way to me, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to tell the truth about human existence. That's the way we do things, especially when we think there's not enough to go around. And so he flips it at the end, too. I love it, the way the story pivots like it does. Because what he says at the end is, when you throw a party, don't throw the people who can pay you back by inviting you to theirs. Throw a party that people come to and that you invite to that party that couldn't possibly repay the favor. And you can hear the bottom being lifted up, can't you?
Go get them off the streets, he says.
And throw a party for them. Let them live with that sense of abundance that somehow you're not confident in. And maybe you'll be confident too. I think he's really expecting this change of practice to change a heart, for a life to be turned by doing something differently. We can do that, can't we? I mean, that's what Lent is for, isn't it?
We take 40 days out of our spiritual lives and we focus very intently on something we want to add to our prayer life or some discipline that we want to take on because our tummy sticks out a little too far or just whatever it is. I mean, we use that period of practice to change our hearts.
And that's what he's doing. He's laying out a way of living with each other so that the world doesn't have to be afraid anymore. So that they can see that there's enough to go around. And nobody has to do the puffery dance ever again. Luke's gospel has always had this theme in it. And I think I talked to you a little bit about how that was sort of my starting place with understanding Luke. And that as I've studied Luke every 3 years and delivering sermons on the lectionary cycle, I've started to see other things that are going on. But boy, I tell you what, this idea of the last shall be first and the first shall be last, it just doesn't go away. It just keeps coming back. That is a recurring theme. It's the backdrop on the stage. And every time the curtain opens, there it is. But the only reason we have to practice this great reversal of fortune is because those of us on the top are afraid somehow. And we don't need to be, you guys. We got to be. Hey, we live in Madison, Georgia. We brag about that to our family in other places, don't we? We brag about that to strangers, don't we? We don't have to be afraid. And we can do things differently here, from here. So don't be afraid. Practice hospitality, the letter to the Hebrews says. Because there may be an angel that you're welcoming into your life by doing that. And you know what story is being referred to. This goes back to the Old Testament. This goes back to one of the most misinterpreted moments in the biblical narrative. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because that was a failure of hospitality. That was a bunch of townies who were afraid of who those folks were staying overnight with Lot. Who are those people? How many times have you been asked that when you've moved to a new town? So who are your people? You don't think there's a little bit of fear behind that? You don't think there's a little bit of puffering, a little bit of pecking order being worked on when that question gets asked? I lived in Augusta. There's a whole lot of it. But when the letter to the Hebrews says that, it's talking about another way of living that is not fear-based, but understands that that thing that God is giving to us increases in value as we share with those who don't have it yet. Oh, that's a whole new way of living.
Yeah, we're still going to have to buy health insurance. Yeah, we're still going to have to pay mortgages. Yeah, there are things that are still going to go on. But they don't have to be fear-based anymore, ever again. What a great world he's describing for us there. You know, we get to it sacrificially. We get to it by giving up something of our own seat from the beginning. And we don't count on sitting at the head of the table. We just don't even count on it. And it's a beautiful world, isn't it? I mean, just close your eyes and imagine. Everybody has enough. Jesus dies and is raised. I mean, if there's anybody in our biblical life for us who should have been afraid, it should have been him. And some of what he expresses on the cross sounds a lot like that. Why have you forsaken me, he says. But he's obedient to that because there's a change of fortune that comes by way of it. And all of us get the benefit of it. There's enough of that to go around. And we ought to live that way. Not just that we have material abundance, we do. But that there is a spiritual abundance there as well. And then the next thing you know, we have the courage to take those steps. We have the courage to take the lower seat. We have the courage to invite those folks that don't up our standing in society, but instead need to be fed. From the beginning, we do things that way. Not as a sop on the end of what we have kept to ourselves and have some left over. No, from the beginning, we live our lives because God loves us. Everybody has enough of that available to them, and we don't want to get in the way of the delivery system of that love. What an incredible calling is ours by way of moments like this. And everybody gets a seat at the table. That's good news. Amen. Let's stand together now.